The news was catastrophic. In all probability, about 24,000 gallons of toxic gasoline had been leaking into the ground for 6 weeks in an area where there were houses located within 500 yards of the Exxon station. Worse still, those homes drew their water supplies from wells drilled on their properties. The county system of piped and treated drinking water did not serve them. Those household wells would be vulnerable to contamination from the gasoline in ways that piped county water would not. Since January, scores of local families and children had been consuming their well water, bathing in it, and cooking with it, unaware that they might be imbibing and dousing themselves with diluted gasoline. How could this have happened? Why didn't the station's leak detector alarm bells ring as they were supposed to do? Bowen relayed the findings up ExxonMobil's chain of command. His report reached Stephen Polkey in Fairfax. Polkey was an Englishman who had joined Exxon out of a British university, rose through the corporation's retail gasoline businesses in the United Kingdom and Europe, and then moved to the United States in 2004 to take a senior position in ExxonMobil's Safety, Health, and Environment Department. SHE, as it was known to acronym-savvy corporate insiders. Polkey was now responsible for all of the environmental issues involving spilled gasoline at Exxon and Mobil stations in the United States. When he took the call about Jacksonville, he said later, "I was stunned. I was shocked. I didn't believe that we could have lost 25,000 gallons." There was no precedent in the retail gasoline division for a leak of this scale, especially one that had been allowed to unfold over 6 weeks without detection. Worse, the spill had occurred at a gas station known within ExxonMobil as a Consequence One site, because it was located near houses that relied on aquifer wells for drinking water. ExxonMobil promoted itself as one of the safest large industrial corporations in the world. Its executives increasingly scoffed in public and private at competitors such as BP that seemed accident-prone. By 2006, ExxonMobil's record was certainly better than the industry norm, but the truth was that, nonetheless, accidents with serious environmental impact, or in which workers were injured, were regular events at the corporation. They involved pipeline spills, trouble at refineries, accidents at construction sites, and losses of inventory of dangerous chemicals. Since the Exxon Valdez accident, under Frank Sproul, the daredevil adventurer and dangerous game hunter, safety, health, and environment had seen worker fatality rates in particular fall to the point where if one did occur, it seemed a shocking anomaly inside the corporation. Yet such a massive global enterprise that daily moved toxic materials from beneath the earth to customers at 29,000 retail gas stations, plus large refineries and chemical plants, could hardly expect zero accidents. On the retail gasoline side, ground leaks of as much as 1,000 gallons of gasoline occurred periodically at American stations or storage facilities. ExxonMobil's public affairs and safety, health, and environment departments had developed standardized playbooks to respond to such events. The protocols included prepackaged talking points for communicating with alarmed members of the public. The leak at Jacksonville was exceptionally large, but it was exactly the sort of accident that ExxonMobil's playbook was intended to address. When Stephen Polkey hung up after receiving the news about Jacksonville, he set ExxonMobil's spill response plans into motion. Public Affairs faxed Andrea Loyero talking points to use if homeowners around the station or journalists turned up asking questions about all the commotion and activity now taking place at the Jacksonville station, which had been closed to customers as contractors drilled and dug to determine the extent and flow of the leaked gasoline. "We're investigating," she was to tell neighboring homeowners. "We'll provide an update." Outside Jacksonville Exxon, a sign soon appeared that explained the station's closure, as well as the presence of so many mysterious trucks and workers drilling in the ground. "Please excuse our appearance. We're working to serve you better. Fueling facility is temporarily closed for upgrade." Transportation fuel, the production, refining, and distribution of gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, and the like, is the second largest segment of the worldwide energy economy, and the fastest growing. Power generation, the production of electricity, is the largest. The fuel economy's worldwide growth is mainly a function of rising incomes in previously car-deprived poor countries. In Europe and the United States, however, by 2006, gasoline consumption had reached a plateau and possibly peaked forever. The retail gasoline stations had always been an unglamorous stepchild division within ExxonMobil. If the value of the land on which corporation-owned stations sat was factored in, the division's profit margins were embarrassing by ExxonMobil standards, particularly compared with upstream oil and gas production or chemical manufacturing. Since the 1980s, like other large international oil corporations, Exxon had been steadily divesting itself of retail stations. Its total of 29,000 Exxon and Mobil stations worldwide in the early days of Rex Tillerson's reign as chief executive represented less than half of the 62,000 stations Exxon had operated under its brand alone just 3 decades before. The environmental and legal aspects of the gas business looked particularly unfavorable. In the euphoric post-war automobile age, neither citizens nor government officials in the United States paid much attention to gasoline's toxic properties or to the consequences of so much sloshing and spilling of gasoline on and beneath the ground. Only after the rise of environmentalism and the birth of the Environmental Protection Agency in 1970 did federal regulators begin to look seriously at carcinogenic effects of gasoline exposure and to tighten the loose, expedient storage and cleanup practices of retail gasoline sellers. Like other oil corporations that had previously pumped gas without much reason to think about environmental impact, Exxon discovered, as the laws tightened after 1970, that it would henceforth be responsible for hundreds of remediation sites, that is, sites where gasoline had leached into the ground at some point in the pre-EPA era, and where it now had to be located and scrubbed out as best as possible, whatever the cost.